My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need a spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Speaking of liquids, I just knocked your drink over about 10 minutes ago. You know this. I'm saying it like you don't know this, but you were here.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, you know that I did that.
In your defense, it was in an odd place where I normally would never have my drink because we came in as Derek and Joe were clearing out, and I actually put my stuff down before they did their final segment in a place where it was susceptible, I found later, to you knocking it over.
That's 100%. 100% of the reason why it happened is that our studio has been in use.
Yes. So it's all good. It spilled entirely on this carpet, which, I mean, I think it's
no one even is going to know about.
No one's even going to know. Yeah, except that you brought it up here. It's fine.
Except for the smoky smell that Mezcal provides, you won't even right. know that it ever happened.
That's right.
Thank you so much. I was going to walk out on that. I'm done.
It's awfully early for you to hit that hard.
Great point about Jake McCabe during the update.
Yeah. Well, I think, what did I say? If the Sabres get good, they're off to a good start. If they prove to be good, this is a good year. At some point this year, we are going to all know the sound of their voices. Like, Jake McCabe has been here, what has he played? 300 games for them, maybe?
Maybe not
that many, but what, he's been here a while.
Maybe 200.
Okay. I had no idea what he sounded like. And then right after I made that point, it turns out Gergensen started talking and I said, has he played 1,000 games here? Like, Gergensen's just been here forever. And I didn't know
maybe
that
2000.
Was, I didn't know that was him talking. So at some point, we're going to, I think, you know, they keep going here, and they're in a wild card spot at New Year's. I think we'll all start paying enough attention that we'll know what they all sound like. I think we used to know what they all sound like, and right now I still kind of don't.
Yeah, I haven't thought about this for a long time, but that's right.
It's a few guys that you know. I know what Jack sounds like. I think I know what Reinhardt sounds like.
I'm not sure I do.
I think I do. I've got a pretty good handle on Skinner now. He's new.
What they could really do to confuse us is talk about something else.
Right.
Like, it's really not a true test unless they're just talking. They all should be reading the same paragraph that has right. nothing to do with what position they play or
right,
anything.
Right.
But that's not going to happen. Even with these clues. Defensemen talking about playing defense and
right.
whatnot.
Yeah.
It's still not a
right.
given that you will know who they are.
Like, if you hear Hutton or Ullmark talking and the context of the quote is about goaltending, you're going to be able to decide which one of them is which. Like, so by process of elimination, that guy doesn't sound so Swedish, it's probably Hutton, or that guy sounds entirely Swedish, that's Ullmark.
You know what I think is true? So you compare that to 2006 and how it got in 2006. Like, it just got so good. I mean, everybody seemed to care about them, and it was just as good as it gets, really, I think, for fans. It was a fun team and a surprising season, everything you want. And I think Chris Drury, I think there were times when we would have a soundbite of Chris Drury, and I would say, I don't know who that is. I think that happened for me. A lot of those guys, I don't think I will ever, well, not a lot of them, a few of them, I think I will always remember
yep.
Marty Baron.
Right.
But Drury, I think maybe he was a tough one for me in 2006. Mm-hmm. Maybe because he didn't talk that often.
Right.
I don't know. When I think about the popularity of that team, and maybe this is cool because maybe even like here's Joe, our producer, who also has been on the air for 5 hours and is 23 years old. He's just the age to be able to handle that. And like he is still old enough to remember that, to remember that team, remember these guys. Like if you're going back to like the Kelly Bills or something, we can't have that conversation right with Joe and a lot of our listeners, because a lot of our listeners are in their 20s. So the 06 Sabres, and as exciting as that all got, some of those moments are indelible. So some of those players, the player I think about that is some sort of pivot point for me in this kind of conversation is Cota Leek. Like Cota Leek played how many games for the Sabres and did what? I mean, he scored some shootout goals,
yeah,
scored some goals,
yeah,
but like he really never distinguished. He absolutely did not distinguish himself with any other team and was not an all-star or anything, but he was somebody. I had friends who were into him. I mean, there were, he had a deep voice, I think.
Yeah.
Like he is somebody that illustrates how popular that right thing was.
And you got to know, like if you were really into the team, you got to know that the guys on the team made fun of him because he was very style. Like he was the guy that always had to look, just had to cut the right look. And so the guys teased him about that he was like, you know, Mr. European style guy or something. Like mm-hmm. those are the kinds of things you only know about a team. It sounds like you're a teenager, but we're adults. But yet we heard all that stuff on the periphery about them just because we were so into them. You just consumed everything about them and remembered most of it because you were that hyper into them.
Yeah, I think, and this doesn't have to be true for everybody, of course, but when the Sabres scored a goal, it was important to me which guy scored it. Like, and what it signified, if anything. You know, maybe it was a milestone, or maybe, like, just, oh, interesting, it was this guy. This guy scored, you know, whatever. Adam Mayer scored that goal. Interesting, you know, whatever. Sorry, Adam. Like, but whatever the story was behind it or whatever, like, everything mattered. Everything mattered about them. Who was going to be in goal? I heard the guys this morning talking with Paul about this, in a way, about, it was funny, like, Paul was going over how the power play combinations would be different tonight. And Jeremy's response was, I think it's cool that we're just even talking about this. And I thought Paul might say, I have been talking about this, actually, all these years.
Right.
But you guys didn't care. Right. I have been talking about this.
He's been writing about it, probably. Like his game day stories are always about it, but I don't know that we've asked him a lot of those questions
the
last little while.
Who the scratch is. Right. Like Jeremy's a little miffed that Rodriguez is a scratch.
Yeah.
And so, like, everything that happened with that team pretty much mattered. And, like, this, it may get to this point. It may get to the point this year where if the Sabres score a goal, I'm going to want to know who. Like, say you're at a party or something and you're not following the game. You're mm-hmm. unable to follow the game. It's 1-0. Who scored? If that's the comeback, that's a good sign for your team.
Yeah.
So maybe. But I'm not there yet.
No. I don't. I think you need to invest at that level. I mean, I don't even know what level I'm talking about, but I guess for the sake of this conversation where we started is to invest in the level at which I will know the sound of all of their voices. I think I need like another month or so of this. I need 10 more wins by Christmas. So, you know, get me to 20-12 or something. And I think you're good. You're almost halfway through here, and this looks like you can keep it up. You've played just about everybody. You know, I know who you can't really run with. I can see who you can, and maybe even who you can dominate. All right, I'm here. I believe it now.
I think they are so in the middle that it really could go either way,
mm-hmm.
and. You know, I would say luck could take it in either direction. The goaltending is good enough for this to, like, for it to say the least, for it to not undermine their season. You know, they carry play well enough. You know, they're in the middle of the league here. And, you know, 16 out of 31 get in. So you're, like, right there. With some luck, you'll get in. Without it, you won't. And so what they do to the roster is interesting. And whether they can keep the pace up is interesting. I mean, it's not a given that they will or that they won't. But if you think about what expectations were, I'm not sure it much matters anymore, but expectations were generally a little bit below mm-hmm. what they have been. So, I mean, it's on. Like, it could go either way, and if it gets really good, then maybe we will start to want to know everything about every player.
Right.
Maybe there will be days like this game that my wife went to. The days of her ever expressing that she wants to go to a game without me or without mm-hmm. one of our kids. Like, it has just been 10 years, maybe, since she has talked like that. That first year, that was our first year as season ticket holders. Like, if I couldn't go because of work or something, she's like, I'm going to call my friend.
Right.
Like, yep. And there was a game where, maybe against Calgary, there was a game where they had autographs. And so the players, after the game, sat at tables around the arena, and fans could go around and get autographs. I mean, how long ago does that sound? That sounds like something from the 70s.
Right.
But that happened in 05, 06, and she was happy to get a couple guys, and she maybe knew Marty Baron a little bit and was happy to see him. And then somebody else she wanted to see, she wasn't able to see. Like, I just feel like that's – I'm 47 years old. That happened 13 years ago. I feel like that was when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It can really be it can be a long way back in a certain way. Like, it feels kind of foreign to get roped back in, and maybe there's some reluctance even to get roped back in, but and I don't think I'm all the way there yet, but there's little stuff that's happening. And I think I mentioned this maybe yesterday, it's paying attention to who's playing who. And I noticed Boston was playing, but Buffalo played Tuesday. So, also I think later Tuesday night, or maybe it was Wednesday, whatever, the Bruins were playing. Oh, they're losing to Colorado. Good. And you pay attention to that. You know, the goals even get scored, and there's a reaction. I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't be embarrassed. I think I got a lot of company. Either way, in Sabres games for a few years, I've been watching the games and just kind of like goals go in, and I'm like, all right. You know, there's nothing. Like, well, good. That's good. We scored. Well, they scored. All right.
And for a while,
I would rather they have
scored.
Right. It was kind of tangled up.
It was all the way the other way.
Right. But Tuesday night, Oposo makes that move, just does that little subtle drag and scores, and I fist pumped to no one in particular because no one was with me and yelled out loud. Yeah, that felt good. It feels good to feel that way about, your sports team. It's why you're there, is to care. And,
I do wonder if I'm capable of that sort of interest level, though. You may not.
No, I definitely know I am.
You definitely know you are.
Yeah.
I wonder if I am. Just so long ago.
Yeah.
In 2006, in January of 2006, the most interesting thing in my life was the Sabres, probably. I consider Daniel Briere my favorite Sabres player ever. In 2006, it did not get bigger for me. And I'm sure I talked about it a lot. I'm sure I did not expect that. I'm sure I did not think that was possible.
Mm-hmm.
You get older, they don't. The players don't get older. Of course, the individuals do, but the players on the team are always around 26 years old. That's about the average, and that was true then when I was 35, and that was true when I was 10,
uh-huh.
and it's true when I'm 47. And that difference is always it's somewhere in the equation. The fact that these guys, the fact that Jack Eichel is 25 years younger than I am. I will really never relate to him. When Jason Pominville came up in 2006 and we met him and I had a conversation with him, he was younger than me, but, there might have been a player on the team who was older than me.
Right.
And I felt like I could relate to him mm-hmm. a little bit. And I guess I still do, as he's whatever age he is now, 35 or whatever age he is now. But the young guys, I don't know, Dahlin is 18, right? Or 19? Just turned 19 in October, I think.
I don't know.
Whatever. What's the difference?
Right.
18. April birthday.
So he's 18 until April. So he's almost 30 years younger than me. He's 35 years younger than you.
Right.
Like, that's like a grandson.
Yeah. That, you know, relating to them has been gone for me for a long time. Coming up in this job with the Ted Nolan Sabres and getting to know Rob like I did, like working with Rob on radio shows back in 96 and 97, like that's how far back my relationship on the radio goes with Rob Ray. I think I learned then even that I wasn't really, like, I could not relate to him. We got to be like professionally friendly and maybe a little bit more than that even, but there was no, like, it just became very clear to me that there was going to be distance there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, like, I left that behind, and still have been invested at different times. So, like, I know how I feel already, just watching these games, and I know there's more there. Like, again, like, I think a month from now, the reaction to a goal that matters, that gives them a 2-0 lead in a close game, or that breaks a tie or ties the game or whatever, is going to elicit more than just a fist bump and a yeah in my house. Like, there may be jumping out of seats. There may be pacing. Like, it's been so long. I think we're out of practice, but I know that it's in there. And as I get older and they stay the same age or even maybe younger than ever, in the case of a guy like Dahlin, there's been very few times there's been anyone that young on the team. Housley, Eichel, I think that's your list. Barrasso, maybe. I know that I can still find my way to plug into it. And I want it so bad. I felt this way when 05-06 came along. Like, we talked a lot leading up to the lockout, and then after, and maybe during even that season long lockout, like how bad it was here and how ready to just go off it would be if the team ever got good again. And then the lockout ended and they got good pretty fast. Not right away. It took until winter, but by winter we were like, they're good.
Yeah. 2 months.
Yeah. And that was awesome. And it just was like a stick of dynamite went off that we didn't even know was lit. And everyone was just all in. I think that happens again. I really do. I think it even whatever age you are, if you've been prone to that, I think that happens. And in fact, I'd say for me, the younger people, like you being as into it as you were then, helped me. And so Joe being all fired up about them, if they get good here, prove to be good, will, I think, help me. Like watching everybody go through it. My son's going, really, it's Owen. Leo doesn't care. Owen being like fired up about the Sabres because they're good. I mean, that'll put me over the moon because he's never had it.
Till he starts playing for them.
We've never had that. You know, we've never had a good hockey team. Like, hockey is, I'll stop short of saying it's our lives, but I mean, it is a significant portion of our life, his life more than mine. I mean, he's training and playing and practicing and clinics and all this stuff. I drive a lot, you know. I watch a lot. I've always done that. But to have a team, our team, be good in our house, that's a completely foreign concept. I mean, he was 5 when they made the playoffs, or 8. 2011?
Yeah.
Okay, he was 7. I mean, he was barely into it. He was into it because I was into it and he played, but he didn't really care that much. Now he cares a lot. Like, that'll carry me. Like, that'll generate a lot of energy for me.
I wonder if it'll be like Chad Kelly, and people will talk about whether everybody's better off if some other team drafts Chad Kelly and not the Bills. Like, there'll be he'll have his small group of fans that, like, people who know him or something. Like, I really would love it if the Bills signed him. And everybody else be like, isn't it better for him and for us if we just not be partners? What about Owen? Like, yeah. Are we going to want Owen to be drafted by the Sabres or drafted by, like, the Sharks?
We're going to want him to be to matter at all is all we're going to want.
That's all you're ever willing
to
say.
Want. Just right.
I don't know, Joe. You and I, someday when Bulldog is sick, you, somehow you worked every day this week. Like, someday we'll definitely have that conversation. What we want there. Well, I don't know how many guys on the team have voices that I could pick out. Eichel, definitely. That might be it. Ristolainen was on the other day. I didn't know it was Ristolainen.
Right.
Like, who else would it be? Pominville.
Sure.
But that might be it. Like, I don't know the voices.
No.
It's great. I mean, this is what it's all about, right? You know, I think it's something that the kids really enjoy. We enjoy doing it. It's a good good event that the NHL puts on.
Wow, that's perfect. Because there's no, that could be a goalie. That could, there's no,
could be anybody.
There's no positional.
Could be a coach.
It's an event that the NHL puts on that we enjoy doing.
I think that was Carter Hutton.
Is that the Winter Classic?
No, it's from Kraft Hockeyville.
Is that Hutton?
No.
All right.
Zach?
Bogosian.
Zach Delpy.
Zach Delpy.
Yeah, Zach Delpy.
He's on the Cleveland Crunch now. Cleveland Monsters.
That is Bogosian.
He's a great kid. A lot of talent. He absorbs everything. Comes to the rink early. Puts the work in. So he's really good. He's a great guy. He wants to get better. So that's important.
Scandella.
Correct.
Really?
He knew it.
No, he
somebody
didn't.
Talking about a young kid. Yeah. He's just the first guy right. Thought of. Bogosian was already used.
Right.
And it wasn't Jason Palmer. I mean,
you know, they've obviously had a tough couple of years here, and it's always nice, you know, with the we scored 9 here a few weeks ago, and then, you know, coming back like that, it's nice to see them, give them a reason to get out of their seat.
No, I was going to say, I'll say Hutton.
I don't know.
Kyle, you know,
calling on me?
Yeah.
I got Nathan Beaulieu.
That's correct.
You ever notice he kind of looks like Ryan Gates?
Everybody looks like Ryan Gates.
That's what Mike says. Yeah, I've not noticed that about Beaulieu.
I just was nowhere on that guest on the voice, though.
No,
nowhere.
Nowhere at all.
All right, we will talk about last night's NFL game. And we've got movies. We've got beer. We've got some random stuff to talk about. It seems like Friday on the bye week is made for that. It seems that way to me, at least. So, settle in. Rob Ray coming up at 4. 803-0550 is our number. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
It's pretty easy to read off of him. I think that one thing that he does pretty well is he can suck a lot of guys to him, and that creates a lot of space for his line mates, I think. To maneuver either if they don't have the puck and trying to get open or once they do get the puck, there's a little bit more time and space out there when he's out there kind of drawing attention.
Helps a lot if you were listening to the interview as it occurred live on WGR.
Makes the game easier.
Identify who the person talking is. That's Skinner from the morning show yesterday. Find that on demand at WGR550.com. On demand audio brought to you by Northwest. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
Who is the Sabres player? What are the tougher ones? Is the guy, we have the clip of him saying,
his forehead is the same as mine and yours.
Or something like that. Something like that is the line. I've never been able to figure out which player that is.
I think that's Baptiste, and he's gone.
Baptiste?
Now. He's traded now. So
okay, that was Baptiste.
It's an old clip.
Yeah. But not necessarily outdated.
No. Timeless.
That was outdated when it was said. Here we have Nick on WGR. Hello, Nick.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Okay, thanks for calling us.
So I'm 29, and my all-time favorite Sabres team is that 05-06 team. And when you were talking about them earlier today, it kind of got me thinking, this team kind of has a lot of similarities to that 05-06 team. Just kind of the way they play, how they're really, it seems like they're all in it together. I was just wondering, how far do you think these guys can go? Because they're kind of not really thought about in the league a lot like that 05-06 team was. And I'll take a comment off the air.
I don't see really that much of a similarity. If they were to, at some point here, and I'm not predicting this will happen, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday. We had Kevin Aklubjian, who's covered the Amherst for a long time. If they were to call up Pilot and Olofsson and those guys carved out dependable, impactful roles on the team, then I could start getting with any kind of comparison there. But I don't think I'm there. Like, the Sabres have, they've got young guys. Like, Mittelstadt is obviously very young. And, you know, Eichel is still young. But I don't know. That team was Roy and Pominville showed up, and they just put them over the top. Like, Drury and Briere were at the top, and then you had Vanek as a rookie. Like, you just had a lot of youth that just sort of flourished all at one time that you maybe didn't see coming ahead of time. I don't see that, you know, unless that were to happen. Like, if in a couple of weeks they decide, hey, let's try Olofsson, and he shows up and pushes somebody down the lineup because he's got to play with Mittelstadt and that catches fire, then I think you're on the cusp of that. But without that, I don't think you really get there.
That makes sense. That team went to the conference finals. They were very fortunate to get Ray Emery in the second round for an Ottawa team that had beaten them almost every time, usually with Dominik Hasek in goal. It doesn't mean I enjoyed it any less than I did. It was just, to predict how any team will do in the playoffs is impossible. To try to do smartly, it's impossible. I mean, there's just so much luck in it. And even then that was true, and I think the league is even more even now. They played, there were teams in that league that were completely ill-equipped to play at the new pace, and those teams were just dead in the water. And all the teams now, some teams are better than others, but they all know what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And so it's tougher.
And I think the top of the conference, like, you just have, I watched Tampa and Pittsburgh last night, and like, Tampa, like, have we all adjusted our sets to take in what Tampa, like, Tampa is Stamkos and Kucherov, and like, yeah, like, those are the guys that you know. But you should know Gord, and you should know
Point.
Point, thank you. Point had a hat trick in a minute and 21 seconds last night. It was the end of the first period, and then to start the second, and they had a two-man advantage for a lot of that. Like, Pittsburgh got in real penalty trouble right at the end of the first period. But whatever. Like, the guy's tremendous. They've got just to have that kind of depth. I'm just nowhere near that, you know? Like, you need to find your way to get Mittelstadt off, and then another guy after that still. And I just don't, I'm not expecting the Sabres to suddenly blast off like the 05-06 team did. I think that's a lot to ask. The style of play was a big part of that too, like Mike said. Like, Philly, they ran Philly over in the first round, and it was Darian Hatcher playing defense, and he was like an aircraft carrier.
And Rathje.
Right, Rathje. Thank you. I knew there was another big, slow guy.
And Gauthier.
That they just exploited. They were just so bad. They were just so ill-equipped to handle a speed game.
I'd enjoy looking at that roster again. Philly's roster. Yeah. Peter Forsberg is on it.
Right.
Jeff Carter. Mike Richards are young on that team.
Right.
Is John LeClair still on that team?
I don't.
Does he hang on to the 05-06 season?
I don't think so.
Philadelphia?
I think he's gone by then.
Yeah, he's not there.
It was a great time.
Simone Gagné led them in points.
Simone Gagné. Yes. Who I would have had a tough time thinking of because I have replaced him with Giroux. They're right. Both French-Canadian names that start with G. So I was going to be a lost puppy on that one. On Gagné. I probably saw all of his goals against the Sabres. There might have been 50. I don't even know. Right. But I would not have been able to think of his name just then.
Right.
Speaking of names that start with G,
okay.
Green Bay Packers.
Mm. Yep.
So this Mike McCarthy. This is a sad state.
What did he do now? I know what he did. What did he do? Tell everybody what he did.
Well, just like everybody agrees on this, I think. Is anybody out there like sticking up for Mike McCarthy at this point? You know, I listen to a lot of fantasy stuff. Everybody, and some of the guys I listen to are out of Wisconsin, a few of them, and some of them have been on this show. Like, just everybody I listen to talk about Mike McCarthy thinks he's terrible. And that's not because of last night. That's way before last night. That's before the season.
Right.
They all think that he's actually not good. Aaron Rodgers is actually good. And McCarthy is just lucky. So, this game last night, it's more than just that punt at the end of the game.
I don't think it was the worst punt ever.
Maybe not.
Fourth and two at your 33 with 420 to go and a timeout and the 2-minute warning. Like, his explanation was worse than the punt itself, I think. Like,
his explanation included we went with the numbers.
Right. Which,
what numbers?
Right. Like, that to me is pretty shaky, but I don't know.
You're two first downs away from losing. If that.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to use one timeout.
Yep.
You'd want, they blow their timeouts like teams with bad coaches often do. The Bills actually don't do that. The Bills are not a team that blow. Have you noticed?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what McDermott does is he makes sure to use his timeouts before the game ends or before the half ends.
Right.
Like, he gets them in. At the last play of the half, whatever it is, he's going to call a timeout.
Timeout here. Yeah.
I think he's going to, because I think maybe he knows that it might look bad if he doesn't use his timeouts.
The thing about the punt there that is probably, I think, the most egregious, the way I see it is you turn it over at your 33. And like, you're going to have to stop them anyways. So you punt it, you got to stop them. You turn it over there, you got to stop them. And they kick a field goal, you still need a touchdown, and like, that's fine. Like, you're okay there.
Yeah.
You can't tie them with a field goal anymore. But if you stop them, which you have to do, then you get the ball back, and you're fine.
I saw an article today about how one guy looked up, and he admitted small sample size, but he looked up games where, so you're Seattle and you're up three, right? Three or four?
Three.
Three? You're up three. Is it three? I want to make sure.
27-24 was the.
Okay, good. So you're up three and it's 4 minutes and you're taking over where they did take over. And then there's the other scenario is you're up three with 4 minutes and you're taking over at where Green Bay had the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an article today about how win probability is about the same. And part of that might be the field goal of death thing.
Right.
Where they kick to go up six and then you're Green Bay and you're still alive.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I mean, I think it's bad. And as you hear me say, if you care, with me every time, it's as bad or worse that the announcers don't say it. And last night, nobody, of course, Buck and Aikman, they're only the number one. Nobody says it. Nobody says it. Nobody says anything. You see Rodgers, he throws a bad pass on third and two, or it looked like a bad pass. Like, I think I feel like Rodgers is annoyed with his rookies because his reactions, Fox can't describe things or ever bring up analytics and stats, but they do give you lots of, close-ups of faces on Fox. So you always see Rodgers' reaction to everything, even Seattle's good plays. You see Rodgers, the camera's always on Rodgers.
Yeah.
And he feels like, to me, he's annoyed with his rookies because like the pass looks off, and if it weren't Aaron Rodgers, you would just think bad throw. And maybe it is a bad throw, but maybe the receiver is not where he's supposed to be, as Rodgers sees it. And I think there was a lot of that on display last night. So the camera is on him, and it stays on him, and now it's fourth down, and they're talking about the pass probably or something, and then you just see him. He doesn't even react to the decision to send the punter on. He just sort of walks off. He does a thing every time when he's going off. You know the thing he does when he's going off on fourth down?
Chin strap.
He takes the chin strap off and he buckles it inside out to the other side. He always does that. So he just goes ahead and does that. He's got the big beard now. He just doesn't really show any frustration or anything like that. And Green Bay punts. It is never brought up that maybe they shouldn't be doing that. And then Seattle has a couple of good plays. And now you're thinking about it. Now you're thinking, oh, Green Bay might not get the ball again.
Right.
And then Joe Buck brings up,
hey,
you know,
Troy,
a couple of things we should be talking about right now. Like,
because Twitter was probably in flames, and some producer probably like got in his ear and said, you know, we missed a chance to talk about that.
Who knows? I mean, maybe you just realize it later. That's the thing. Like, if you're going to criticize coaches, you got to have it when they need to have it.
Right.
And if you thought about it 2 minutes later when you realize, oh, Seattle's going to run the clock out, well, that's too late. I mean, that's the difference. I mean, the coach has to think of it before that. He has to think of it when it's their ball, of course. When the announcers don't, it's just it's one of thousands of examples where fans are just not being served properly. You can't expect fans to understand this sort of thing if the announcers just never acknowledge it or don't know about it themselves. And that's pretty much how it almost always happens in NFL games. So nothing from Buck or Aikman on that. Early in the game, now every time I want to tweet something about Aikman, Joe is brought up to me. Like, Aikman's going to see this. Like, so what? But, you know, at least I'll say that. I'll say, like, so what? But Seattle, or one of the teams, maybe it was Green Bay, somebody had a fourth down and went for it. And so, you know, like, the announcer, watch for this if you care. Like, announcers will wait to see what the team is going to do.
Uh-huh.
And then they will agree with it. Then they will comment on it. They will wait to see what the decision is.
I think if you're really paying attention, sometimes you can catch them killing time until they see what's happening on the sidelines.
Yep. So whichever team it was, I'm still not sure. Aikman starts to discuss the decision that they're making to go for it. And he says, well, they are the home team. It's 7-0. So it must have been Seattle. They're down 7-0. Want to get the crowd back in the game. He gave three factors, and two were what stadium you were playing in. I mean, it's just, who has any chance? What chance do we have as viewers if that's what you're listening to? None. You got to figure all that stuff out for yourself if you're watching a game that they're doing, because he just has no clue what really matters there. It's just incredible. How could it be, right? That guy Dennis, who called a couple weeks ago, like, you sound like you never played football. Like, I will tell you I never played football. Maybe that's my edge. Maybe if you played football and your coaches in the 80s always punted, you just think that's better and you have Super Bowl rings. So that must be the right decision.
I love this guy walking around with Dennis from a couple of weeks ago. Like, I will never not be amazed by that.
Dennis. I mean, he was fine. He's just like, you sound like you never played. Like, dude. I wear it on my forehead.
The amazing thing is that you've got that, like, that recall. Like, somebody could call us right now. They won't. But, like, somebody could. And by next hour, I won't remember that it happened. Like, I just don't ever.
Just don't. It's been a couple of days since we've taken a call. Well, let's keep it going.
Aikman did get a little defensive on Twitter again today.
He did? I didn't know that. What?
Randall Cobb tweeted, I got to mute the rest of the game. When are y'all going to stop disrespecting Devontae Adams? And Troy Aikman responded, are you kidding me? Devontae Adams is a great player. No one said otherwise.
Aikman was very confused.
He was not tagged in it, by the way.
I could speak on this. Aikman was very confused early in the game from a conversation he says he had with Devontae Adams over how many yards Adams needed to get to 1,000 yards for the year. So he said how he needed 150 yards to get to 1,000 yards, and wow, that'd be amazing if it happened in this game. He sort of just, you know, somehow managed to get his way through that line, and then one or two plays later corrected himself. Said, actually, it's 200 yards that he needs in this game. He didn't even remember the number. All right.
Breaking news. Lions have ruled Marvin Jones out of Sunday's game against Carolina.
Yep, that was coming. They want a second opinion, or he does, on his knee. That was coming. We'll talk to Rob Ray in 15 minutes. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here on WGR.
Well, you learn from every year and about experience, for sure. Still early in the season. We had a good streak here, but you're just going to keep going. I think this the mindset's better, so yeah, keep it rolling here.
Larson.
Correct.
Accents help.
I was going to guess Allmark.
There's a lot of Swedish players on the team.
Yeah, it's right. It's no given that you're going to be right just because you pick a Swedish guy. There are a bunch of them. Good point, Joe. Joe's been on since 10. I don't mean like on necessarily, but he's been here since 10. A lot of fantasy football or no? You and Derek?
No, not a lot of fantasy football.
Why not? External pressures?
I don't know. I like to save the thoughts for Sunday morning, although it is a bye week.
Are you on the night?
No.
Seven is Sabres pregame at 7.
Yes.
Yes, right. Bulldog reported, WGR's Bulldog reports that Marvin Jones will not play Sunday for Detroit in their game with Carolina. So, plan accordingly. What else? They're going doubtful on A.J. Green, but that's not likely to happen. You asked about Sammy Watkins. I think tomorrow might be the key day for Sammy Watkins because that's Monday night.
Okay.
And Lamar Jackson, Jason Lockenfora reports, probably starts this game for Baltimore, not Flacco. Doubtful. And Jackson is back from the stomach flu, off the injury report, practice today.
Who are they playing, Bengals?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was another report from a Bengals or a Ravens reporter basically saying that it could happen where Jackson starts and they mix in RG3 with different sorts of packages.
Yes.
Which is kind of what they do with Flacco and Jackson.
Yep. And, you know, you probably don't start Joe Flacco, but you could have. And he started pretty well. Like the first 4 or 5 weeks, you could have and done pretty well, even with that happening.
Sure. Yeah.
Jackson's running could make him really valuable, but if they can't throw the ball, then I don't know.
Right.
So I picked him up a lot, but I don't think I'm going to play him anywhere this week. If he does decently, they have a nice schedule, I could really get into that. And that's if Flacco stays out, which we'll have to see. But I'm excited about Jackson. You and I have both liked him,
yep,
you know, for a long time. So go Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that game got a lot more interesting.
Right, yeah, right.
For sure.
Rob Ray from Winnipeg after sports here on WGR.